But it is good to see so many that had been ill and possibly having had operations and other things going on, some who have been away, back again. And we're very, very grateful for the restoration of your health and for your place here again. We're glad you're home again. We're glad you're back with us in our worship to God. Betty and I are glad to be back. We saw our granddaughter graduate from Athens Bible School. We were able to visit not only our children in Alabama, but also in Tennessee. And along the way, we saw a good host of brethren that we were able to visit with and to greet. I think without exception, those that I talked to made inquiries about the church here, wanting to know how you are getting along and how we are progressing. We want you to know, Betty and I, how very much we love each one of you. What a great privilege it is to be associated with you. And we know from many things that you do and say that you return that love to us. What a wonderful thing it will be if all of us can go to heaven. It is such a sobering question that this individual has for our Lord in verse 23. Lord, are there few who are saved? What if you were asked a question like that? Are there few who are saved? I think more sobering yet is the reply that Jesus gives. He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And then our Lord proceeded to elaborate on that principle. Are there few that will be saved? Well, we stop and think about the entire teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning this matter of salvation, of eternal salvation, and a home in heaven. And we have to say, God has made salvation possible for every person. There is room in heaven, if you just want to state it that way. There is room in heaven for every person on earth. God has made that available, as we want to demonstrate. But most, the majority, I think that is what the Scripture teaches. The majority of mankind is not going to be saved. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what if I am lost? What if I do not make it to heaven? What if, because of some failure, some shortcoming of mine, some sin that I have allowed to abide in my heart, I'm lost? What if I am lost? I think foolish people may reply, oh no, that is negative thinking. We should never, ever ask ourselves that question. No. Dear friends, I think that it is the great part of wisdom for all of us to consider the solemnity of what is involved in our soul salvation. I can be saved or I can be lost. What if I am lost? It will be in hell. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. If we believe Jesus, if we believe the Scriptures, we recognize that there is such a place, that the Bible describes and it calls it hell. Our Lord Jesus, in wanting us to know about this, says in Matthew chapter 25, when He comes back and there is that great day of judgment, that there is going to be a terrible division that will take place. Verse 41 of Matthew 25 records, "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Earlier, verse 30 talks about the unprofitable servant, the individual who would not do the will of the Lord. And he says, "Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Oh, our Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father, through inspiration, has chosen to describe this terrible place called hell in a variety of ways. It is a place of fire. I do not know of a more painful thing than this idea of fire, of being burnt, of the torture that is involved there. Sometimes the Scriptures will describe hell as being the place of outer or of utter darkness. Can you imagine a place where there is no light at all? When the Scripture says that those that are in hell are going to be separated from God, we need to pay close attention to that. This earth, this earth has plenty of things that are wrong with it. Sometimes we are so distressed because we see and we read of the deeds of evil people, and we know about all of the murder, all of the violence, all of the war, all of the killing, all of the misdeeds that are going on. But can you picture a place that is just made up of people like that? Hell is going to be composed of the worst kind of population imaginable. All of the liars, all of the thieves, all of the murderers, all of the rapists, all of the violent, all of the unbelievers, every evil person is going to find their place there in hell. Do you know in hell there will be no righteousness? The devil is there. He's not your friend. He never has been. He only wants to do you wrong. He only wants to deceive you. He only wants to trick you. There is no righteousness in hell. There's no light. There is no relief. There is nothing in hell except the idea of a dreadful fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, the crying out, the pain, and the sorrow. Some people say, "I hate the Bible. I hate the Bible." Why in the world did God ever describe hell in such terrible terms? I've heard some parents say, "You ought not to teach your children about hell." That's all negative. Some people say, "You know, I'm so glad that churches and preachers are enlightened today so that they no longer talk about the punishment of hell." Why do you suppose the Bible does that? Why does our Lord Jesus, who was sent from the Father over and over and over again in a multiplicity of ways in the Gospels, describe this place called hell and tell us just exactly what it's going to be like? So terrible it is that many preachers have turned away from it and they try to soft pedal it. And they say, oh no, that's not what really is going to happen. Some of our religious friends have said, there is no such place as hell. But do you know what? If you believe the Bible, if you believe God, and if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to say, I do indeed believe that there is such a place. Why does God tell us about it? Because He does love us. Because He does want us, every person, to know that there is such a place called hell. Oh, I know that there are many people in the world that use that word hell as a curse word almost. And hell with this and hell with that. They know about hell, but they're not making the right application of it, dear friends. Now I'll tell you what would be unfair. What would be unfair, what would be unjust on the part of God would be when we all appear at the judgment and then there is such a great surprise where people are going to say to the Lord, oh, I didn't know there was such a place of punishment. But we do know. Every person that has ever read the Bible, everyone that has ever studied the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, know that clearly, positively, in words that cannot be misunderstood, there is such a place. If I am lost, it will be in hell. If I'm lost, it will be my own fault. Do you know that's true? If I'm lost, I can forget about excuses. In this life, I can deceive, I can make people think that I'm really such a religious person, that I am a good man, that I do good deeds and this and that and the other. You can't trick God. No excuses. Whenever we stand before the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father in that great day of judgment, if He says to me, as is recorded in verse 41, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. I will deserve it. What's the basis? God is going to judge every one of us according to our works. Now, some people immediately get mad about that. They say, oh, now you're talking about earning your salvation, aren't you? No, I'm not talking about earning salvation. No person is going to earn their salvation. But the Bible is just so clear in teaching us that God looks at us, He looks at our deeds. Way back there in the book of Ecclesiastes, after the writer Solomon had examined all of life. What is good to do? What is not good to do? What will make you happy? He finally says, as he comes to the very last words of that great book, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Some say, it's just say, this is the entirety of man. This is what it's all about. But verse 14, which is the closing verse of that book, says, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, he agrees just exactly with that kind of teaching when he says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Do I need to remind you that you're going to be there? One appointment that everyone is going to meet. You're going to be there. And he's going to call on you individually, as it were. And he will examine your deeds, good or bad. God's not going to make any errors. You can't say to God, "You misunderstood me. I didn't really do this. You're charging me falsely." Oh, every single thing. Let's look at one more passage, please. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. And beginning with verse 6. "Who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then the caprock. "For there is no partiality with God." Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter about your position here on earth. Doesn't matter about your race, your color, what part of the world you're born in, what your financial status is, what your social position is, whether it is great or small. There's no partiality with God. If I'm lost, I only have one person to blame. Oh, I know people go throughout life blaming others. I'm not a Christian because I can see there are hypocrites in the church. Well, so what? Hell's going to be full of them. Well, I'm not a member of the church because my daddy was mean to me. I was never baptized because my folks just kept ramming religion down my throat when I was a child. The excuses go on and on. Whenever you stand before God, you won't have a single valid excuse. You can just blabber all you want to. "I didn't obey you because of this or that." And God is just going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you." Your deeds is that which is going to determine whether you'll be lost or not. What's the watchword? What's the lesson? Take responsibility for yourself in this life. Get over that idea of blaming others for what is happening to you. If I'm lost, we need to get the record straight. If I am lost in hell, it will be despite the grace of God. Oh, people have such a warped, terrible view of God. Just look at the God of the Bible. He's going to send people to hell. God doesn't want a single person there. Did you know that? 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 tells us clearly that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. He is long-suffering to everyone, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want me to be lost. If I'm lost, I can't point the finger at God. Oh, He's done everything. Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Now, I would not pretend to say that I've been everywhere in the world, but I can tell you this. It doesn't matter whether you're in the Kalahari Desert. It doesn't matter if you're in Mongolia. It doesn't matter if you're in the frozen regions of the north. God is everywhere, and men can know about God. God does not make salvation impossible. If I'm lost, that terrible death of Jesus on the cross is going to be for naught. We've celebrated His death just a few minutes ago. That's what we did whenever we took the bread and we took the cup. And those of you who were thinking along with the teaching of Scripture as you put that piece of bread in your mouth and as you drank the cup, you remembered, Jesus did this for me. He died so that I would not have to lose my spiritual life. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And I'll tell you what, neighbor. If you're lost in hell, everything that Jesus did, it was in vain as far as you're concerned. You ignored Him. Maybe you trampled on Him and considered the blood of the covenant of absolute no effect. And even an unholy thing. You made fun of it. You laughed at it. You treated the death of Christ as if though it was a fable. You can't blame Jesus if you're lost in hell. You can't say, oh, He didn't fulfill the will of the Father in dying for me. He did die for you. He gave all that He had. We're going to be speaking this evening about the poverty of our Lord Jesus on our behalf. You can't blame Christ. Christians are seeking your salvation. You say, I get so tired when I come to church services. Those folks, after every service, they stand up and sing an invitation song. Do you have any idea what that invitation song is about? Christians are concerned about me. They're concerned about my spiritual welfare. They are pleading weekly and daily with me, begging me that I would change, that I would repent, that I would obey the Word of God. You can't say nobody loves me and nobody wants me to be a Christian. Men have gone into all the world sacrificing everything that they have in order that they may proclaim the gospel. Mothers and fathers have sacrificed for their children in order that they may be led in the paths of righteousness. Sons and daughters have pleaded with recalcitrant parents that they would follow the truth. Preaching, encouragement, example. And if I stand before God, it's just not going to work for me to say, there was a lot of mean people out there. Now there's a lot of folks that are encouraging you to follow what is right. And if you're lost, if I'm lost, it will be despite the grace of God. Now you say that can't be so bad. After a week or so, I'll be out of there, won't I? If I'm lost, there's no second chance. Forget that. You won't come back into this world again and work yourself up a higher ladder. If you're lost, if you waste this life and this opportunity, you're going to be in hell forever and ever and ever. You can't ask anybody to come and give me just a drop of water. You won't get it. You can't say, oh, I know now. I believe now. It's too late. Too late. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How would you feel about it if God says you can come into heaven for just a few days and see what it's like? Well, that's not the way it works, is it? For those who are obedient to the Father, what marvelous privileges, what wonderful blessings that are going on for eternity. This life is short, but eternity is not. If I'm lost, it'll just be forever and ever. No second chance. There's a great gulf between. Dear friends, dear loved ones, why would anyone deliberately choose to be lost? Are you hearing the gospel invitation Sunday after Sunday and year after year in your life and just turning your back to it? I don't know of anyone that's in a sadder condition. You can sneer. You can make fun. You can say, oh, I'm not ready yet. Maybe one of these days. Why, that is the most dangerous risk that anyone can take. Dear friends, dear Christians, make your life right. Don't endanger your salvation by immoral living or by lukewarm living. And if up until now you have shunned to confess the name of Jesus in order that He may confess you before the Father and the angels in heaven, if up until now you have said, oh, there's so many things I want to do in this life that I don't want to be a Christian. It will just hinder me. Oh, get over that. Get over that, please. Repent. You're no murderer. Repent of your stubbornness. Become a Christian today, and not just any kind of Christian that is lackadaisical. Be strong in the faith and serve God. let your deeds be such that the Father and His Son will say, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. We're begging you to do that right now.